I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come on.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour deep space shindig. DAU from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Huge show coming up for you this morning. Steve Berline's going to join us from the NFL on CBS. We'll talk to Steve about everything NFL after this weekend and look ahead to tonight's big one. Tonight could be the game of the weekend, hopefully, Niners and Seahawks. A lot of playoff implications, including in the NFC West. So we'll talk about everything NFL with Steve Berline coming up here in hour number three. Also, I am so excited. If you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen my story from last week where a young man by the name of Wani made an appearance on my IG story. He and his mom had visited our studios. They were here for a different radio station, a different event. I got to meet them, talk to them. Wani is a huge wrestling fan. He is in seventh grade. He is visually impaired, but his mother has done an amazing thing and developed a really cool thing for kids and really all people, including adults who are visually impaired, that includes Braille on tags for clothes to help them get dressed and to help Wani get dressed. And she's spreading the word on this. I think they're an amazing family. Wani's a huge wrestling fan. I want to talk to him about that. Pete the Body Bellotti can help me out here because
sure.
He is the wrestling oracle. So Wani and his mom, Grace, are going to be in studio coming up here with us next hour, which I'm super excited about to welcome them here inside of the DA show walls. Tons of NFL today. Kyle Allen and the Panthers come oh so close at Lambeau. The Chiefs, can you trust them in the playoffs? The Steelers' defense is right now rocking and rolling in a huge win by Pittsburgh yesterday. Lamar Jackson doing things only Lamar Jackson can do, and so much more. All of that coming up on the show. I'm sure you guys have thoughts as well. Plus, we get to talk LSU-Alabama and the college football playoff. So all of that on the table this morning. So hit me up on the phones on any of those topics or anything football-related, really, at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or you can get at me on Twitter, DA on CBS. But let's begin last night. Vikings and Cowboys in Minnesota comes away with a 28-24 victory. You might remember last week, I think it was on Monday, I think it was exactly a week ago, where I read a quote from Dak Prescott. And the quote was that nobody in the NFL can stop us when we do what we do. We are unstoppable when we do what we do. And I talked about that from the viewpoint of, do the Cowboys think they're better than they are? Are they delusional about just how good they are, what their potential is? Because last night was yet another example of how the Dallas Cowboys have a lot of talent, but do not equate that into wins against solid foes, good opposition, good teams. Let me give you their wins this season. The Giants, twice. They just lost to the Jets. Washington, a disaster of a franchise. The Dolphins, back when Miami was actively trying to lose games. And then the top to bottom, best win of their season by far, that Sunday nighter against the Eagles a couple of weeks ago. When the Dallas Cowboys talk about how good they are or how good they can be, it's really boy who cried wolf. I honestly don't want to hear it because look who they've lost to. The Vikings, the Saints, the Packers. Three playoff teams and add the Jets in there as well. Yesterday, how well did the Cowboys move the football through the air? How well, especially on that final drive? And then what ended up happening inside the red zone? Let's try to run the football with Zeke, and that was immediately shut down. The Vikings' run defense yesterday, last night, was phenomenal. The Vikings' run defense swallowed up and suffocated the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott all night long. And yet, here's Jason Garrett and Kellen Moore insisting on running the football late. What is that? And I can't help but wonder, are the Cowboys ultimately doomed because of their coaching? It is where we begin your cold open.
Prescott on a very deep drop. He steps away from the pressure, floats out to the right. Dak fires a Hail Mary into the end zone. It's a massive jump ball and knocked away! And the Minnesota Vikings come up with a big W.
Obviously, we're trying to score a touchdown. And we got into a second and short situation. And we tried to run it a couple times just to get the first down. And they did a good job defending those runs and got to a fourth down situation and just weren't able to convert it.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Paul Allen on Vikings Radio, and that was Jason Garrett after the game. Garrett and Kellen Moore did their team no favors last night. None whatsoever. You're down four, you're driving the length of the field, you're throwing the football well, and when push comes to shove, you insist on doing the thing that you haven't been able to do the entire game against one of the best run defenses in football, the Vikings. Why? 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 And frankly, the Cowboys deserve to lose that football game for mismanagement and ridiculous decision-making, but also because the Cowboys have started slow yet again, allowing a team to come into your house and leading by 14 points right off the bat. And I want to give credit to Angry Ned Flanders because Kirk Cousins actually played a very effective, very efficient game last night on the road against a good opponent. It looked like it was set up for Cousins to once again lay an egg, melt into a puddle on a big nationally televised game in prime time, and instead he stepped away with a victory. Credit the Vikings. That's a big boy win. That's a playoff caliber win. And we're left scratching our head about the Cowboys. They think they're better than they are. And they have a coach who once again proves he's not a championship caliber coach. And last night, the Dallas Cowboys are once again left to answer the question, are you mediocre and can beat up on just bad teams? Or can you actually beat a good team? Because I'm still waiting for that. And by the way, the second half of the season, you've still got the Patriots on the table, the Bills on the table, the Eagles again in Philadelphia, and the Rams. Of course, the Rams suffered a bad loss yesterday, but none of these are going to be easy for the Dallas Cowboys in a stacked NFC. Last night was a brutal loss for them. That had playoff implications. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. LSU, Alabama, that game lived up to the hype. Whew. Usually, we have these games of the century and they don't end up living up to our expectations. That one had it all. What has been said that I can say now about Joe Burrow, besides the kid was absolutely sparkling when it mattered most? Now, this Alabama defense is not your normal Alabama defense. This is not the type of defense that has been the anchor of Nick Saban coach teams for more than a decade in Tuscaloosa. But Burrow's at a totally different level. And what Joe Brady and Burrow have brought to LSU is staggering. Because when have we ever seen anything change this dramatically overnight? One coach and one quarterback changed the program overnight, one season. They flipped the script. LSU, run the football, old school offense, win with defense, 20-17. Now they can put up 46 in Tuscaloosa, 46. This is the most points any offense has scored against Alabama, anyone, since 1970. That's the most points Alabama's given up at home since 1907. 07! LSU has all of the parts to win a national championship, and they just crossed the most amazing threshold to do it in that spot. In that spot. And I've talked about Ed Orgeron before. I'll say it again. Orgeron's one of the best stories we have in college football because he was passed over time and time again for this job. He was passed over for USC. He was passed over multiple times by multiple programs because he didn't look the part. And today, you saw how emotional he was on Saturday. Today, he's got the best chance to win a national championship because he slayed the dragon. And Burrow and Brady and Orgeron and Aranda, those guys all deserve unbelievable credit. And the players of the field for LSU, my goodness. I would put LSU number one in the playoff rankings tomorrow. I'd put Ohio State at two. I'd put Clemson at three. And I would drop Alabama out of the top four. Alabama, okay, you fought back, you clawed back, but had some terrible mistakes, self-inflicted wounds. And you can't sell me that Alabama is one of the four best teams of the country if they don't have a quality win. I need a quality win before I put them in the top four. You can't say our best selling point is a loss. I need to see some quality wins up there as well. And the non-conference schedule is terrible for Alabama. And their only quality win could come against Auburn in the Iron Bowl, but I'm not so certain Alabama wins that game. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Gary's next up in Jacksonville listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, DA. First, I want to talk about after the end of your show yesterday, how you completely dismissed my Dolphins' chances to get a W.
Yes.
They'll go back to being the Dolphins again this
week. I absolutely thought that you did not.
No, because they've been playing hard gradually against Brian Flores. He's got them, even despite less than most talented teams, he's got that team playing hard every week. And if you play hard and believe, you've got a chance every week. In the NFL, they still have some talented players on that team.
I don't disagree, but come on. Yesterday, the Dolphins had not won a road game the entire year. The Colts looked like a playoff team, one of the better playoff teams of the AFC. They have a great offensive line. They have a great defense. They could run the football, so the injury to Jacoby Brissett shouldn't have hindered them that much. You could not have thought the Dolphins were going to go into Indianapolis and win that football game.
Frank Reich got outcoached by Brian Flores.
I'm not disagreeing, but you can't kill me for thinking the Dolphins were going to lose on the road to Indy yesterday.
I believe the Dolphins had a chance. You can call me a liar or not. I believed it.
Well, every team has a chance. I mean, look, did you think that the Falcons were going to beat the Saints?
No, I know that. Not the way they were playing.
No, exactly.
They were playing absolutely horrendous defense. I mean,
I give Brian Flores a lot of credit because that team has not quit on him. And when they gave him the team ball, the game ball after last week's victory, it showed a spirit of that locker room that they know he's been coaching with one hand tied behind his back because of the front office. And I think you're right. I think those guys in that locker room really like Flores.
Right. And the other thing, who else but Jason Garrett could let Kirk Cousins come through? Vintage Jason Garrett call there at the end, running the football, as you said, with Zeke Elliott when they haven't been able to run the whole game. And that's what's going to keep the Dallas Cowboys down as long as Jason Garrett is at the helm.
Vintage Jason Garrett. It's well said, Gary. Vintage Jason Garrett. You can't run the football at all the entire game. You get down to the red zone, and then suddenly, yeah, let's try to pound the rock. It hasn't worked for 58 minutes. Why now?
Clap off.
When we come back in Lambeau yesterday, I think we just saw Cam Newton lose his job. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Allen at the doorstep out of the shotgun. Two receivers left, two to the right. Here's the snap, give to McCaffrey. He's hit. He drives forward to the goal line and is the end. That's the question. The officials are marking no. They are saying no. He's not in. Time is wound down. The Packers have hung on.
Too many turnovers today. Too many missed opportunities by me. We knew coming in against this team, they're a team that doesn't turn the ball over much. Aaron does a really good job of not turning the ball over and making plays when he needs to. And for me to turn the ball over twice, it put us in bad position. And I think at the end of the day, that's the main reason why we lost is turnovers. I think that's the biggest thing in the league. And for us to have two and them to have zero is a big reason why they won.
Fun game yesterday at Lambeau Field. Kyle Allen of the Panthers come up just a half yard short. Christian McCaffrey could not get in to the end zone in the snow at Lambeau. And the Packers survive. Welcome back. That was Packers Radio on the call. And Kyle Allen after the game. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on in the show when we'll answer that question. Also, there's so many ways you can listen to the show. Remember, you can check us out using the CBS Sports app or the radio.com app on your phone, Apple Music as well. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, and then also on Sirius XM Channel 206. Let's start with the Packers because they're the winner. To the victor go the spoils. The Packers defense came up with the stop that it needed most. It had to get the stop, obviously, at the end of regulation to walk away with a win, and the officials did them no favors. A couple of flags extended that Panthers drive. It looked like multiple times the Packers had gotten off the field on fourth down. They had to come back onto the field. I thought it was ticky-tack, wishy-washy officiating down the stretch. Not as though the Packers hadn't benefited from officiating. The flag on Gerald McCoy for roughing the passer in the end zone was a joke. I don't know how you're asking these defensive players in the NFL to, in real time, hit a quarterback and then somehow roll off mid-air from the QBs so that you don't land on them with your body weight. You're asking defensive players of the NFL to do matrix-level stuff. Stopping time, pausing the time-space continuum, and then moving off of the body that you're hitting so that you don't land on top of it. I think it's ridiculous. And ultimately, that flipped the table, flipped the script, although the Packers didn't convert that into points at the end of the first half. But the Packers get a win, a victory, a gritty victory, and that defense, when it mattered, got the stop. But I have to say, my biggest takeaway from yesterday, not only was it a really good response after the way that the Packers laid an egg last week in L.A., but more than that, Kyle Allen just pushed Cam Newton out of a job. Kyle Allen wasn't great the entire day, but when it mattered, was that final drive a thing of beauty? Every time the Panthers had to get a first down, had to move the chains, needed a big throw, Allen delivered. Kyle Allen was an undrafted rookie last year. Kyle Allen has no business being this effective. There's no doubt that this offense and that team has benefited from Cam Newton being injured. No doubt. And that final drive in the snow on that field with how slick the turf was, every throw he made. Look at how in command he was. I know they didn't walk out with a victory, but if you were a Panthers fan today, you just saw your quarterback of the future. I think it was already trending in that direction for business reasons. Look, Cam has 1 year left on his deal. If they cut him in the offseason, they save $19 million. You know that you're already with a 30-year-old Cam Newton questioning his long-term health on a daily basis. He's now had a shoulder injury. He has a foot injury he can't come back from. And Cam has used his body, his physical gifts, to be this good for this long. Moving past Cam, because you have an option to get out from underneath his contract and to allocate that money towards Christian McCaffrey moving forward or other places on your team, just as the right business move. But Allen's made this a pretty obvious decision now. They've been better without Cam. And while he's not an all-pro, yesterday in the snow on a slick turf into the teeth of the Packers defense, a much-improved defense, he goes the length of the field and drives that team to the very last yard line that he could before they actually could get into the end zone and made throw after throw after throw and seemed in command. That's an undrafted second-year kid that should be totally overwhelmed by the situation. Let me pit two quarterbacks against one another in that situation. Thursday night, Phillip Rivers. Yesterday, Kyle Allen. Who handled the last second drive better? Allen took what the defense gave him, moved the chains, made difficult throws, managed the clock, was in command. Phillip Rivers freaked out, threw a million incomplete passes, couldn't move the football, and didn't use any of the timeouts. One guy's an undrafted kid in his second year. The other guy is a perennial all-pro in 14 seasons of the NFL. Allen won the job. Cam Newton is no longer going to be the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. Good win, though, by the Packers to find a way at the very end. 855-212-4227, the phone number, 855-212-4CBS, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Ed Orgeron getting emotional after the victory in Tuscaloosa, and history for Nick Nurse. It's all part of the best audio of the day. It is soundcheck, and I have to hear, in his own words, the ballad of Dave Shepard, Shep, this morning, and what his day has looked like beginning at 2 a.m. Eastern time to where we are right now. It is exhausting. It's a story that has it all. It has love. It has hate. It has tears. It has romance. It has ups and downs, emotional swings. It has a sprint from Times Square.
It's almost, DA, the polar opposite of the person that normally mans that chair. Everything Sean is not, Shep is, as demonstrated in the last 7-plus hours.
We will discuss this when we come back. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Radio Hall of Fame ceremony is Friday night, so I am not working on Friday. And if I'm not mistaken, my man DA is. DA, holding it down. Damon, appreciate you. Thank you very much.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You got it, Jim. Jim Rome going into the Radio Hall of Fame last Friday night, and that was a real thrill for me to be able to fill in for the Jim Rome show on Friday as Jim was getting inducted. Very cool. Had a lot of fun in that show. You can listen to that as part of the podcast feed. You can listen to all DA show full episodes by simply going to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, radio.com, or other places that podcasts are available, and just search the DA show, and you'll be able to hear them on demand. The DA show every single day. Full 3 hours available. By the way, Sunday, the NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic quarterbacks of the sport. When Lamar Jackson and the Ravens welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by New England bracing for another tough road game, this time in Philly. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL today. at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
We'll talk about Lamar Jackson coming up here later on in the show, but Lamar Jackson's spin move yesterday en route to a 50-yard touchdown scramble may define his career in a good way. I can't ever remember any quarterback, perhaps outside of Michael Vick, use a spin move while scrambling. That is a move wide receivers and running backs who are paid to make guys miss in the open field oftentimes don't use. A spin move is a pretty unbelievable weapon to have in your arsenal. If you're a quarterback, it's impossible. And yesterday, when Lamar Jackson sliced through the defense, made multiple defenders miss, and then yanked the spin move to make two other Bengals miss and go into the end zone, I said, that is his NFL Films play. Michael Vick's NFL Films play is when he splits two Vikings defenders of the Metrodome and make them collide into one another because he can hit a turbo button and is just faster than everybody else on the football field. That's his NFL Films play. We all know the NFL Films plays. For John Elway, it's launching himself into the air in the Super Bowl, getting sandwiched by two Packers players and him spinning doing the helicopter. For Barry Sanders, it's the play against the Cowboys where multiple defenders of the Cowboys think he's not there and stop. And then he bursts out of it and keeps going to a touchdown. For Randy Moss, it's the three-touchdown day against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. For Walter Payton, it's the play against the Chiefs where he gets hit multiple times head-on and keeps churning his legs as though nobody can bring him down. I think yesterday was the Lamar Jackson NFL Films play. Somehow takes a read option and I think made three or four Bengals miss before he gets to two more and yanks the spin move to go into the end zone. Just absurd. Absurd. Oh, and the guy's had a couple of perfect quarterback rating days this year. 158.3. He's not just a scrambler. He's already a better passer than Vic was, certainly at this point in his career, but maybe ever. You know, Vic was a special talent, an amazing arm. What a spectacular guy to watch, but he never had the polish that we're already seeing Lamar Jackson have in the passing game. Jackson is a cheat code. Eric tweets, let's talk about where my Panthers would be without CMC. They lost a heartbreaker yesterday, but wow, the dude is a machine. Kyle Allen balled out too. Hats off to the Packers. Christian McCaffrey is the real deal. And it's pretty cool that there's a white running back that's doing this. Only because it breaks conventional stereotypes. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. There's a black quarterback that's breaking conventional stereotypes. I like when these things happen because it forces guys in decision-making spots around the NFL and sports to reconsider what they thought they knew. I don't love Kyler Murray's game at this point in time, but I like the fact that he breaks convention and will make people have to rethink whether you can have a quarterback under 5'10 be really successful in this league. I like that Christian McCaffrey's doing this. I like that Lamar Jackson's doing that. I like when guys come up and disrupt these traditional ways of thinking and show, hey, you got to open up your mind because there's other ways to win football games. McCaffrey's been great. But like I said, I think Kyle Allen just won the Carolina Panthers starting quarterback job for the foreseeable future. Because that final drive, I know they lost, but Allen made throw after throw after throw to keep those chains moving and never blinked. In the snow, on the road, on that slippery turf, I give him a lot of credit. He's been very good this year. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
LSU wins the huge matchup against Alabama, and here was an emotional Coach Ed Ogeron speaking after the game to CBS Sports.
You know what? It's a great game to be in, a great rivalry. I am so happy for the state of Louisiana and all the LSU fans and our football team and our coaching staff. They worked very hard for this victory. It's a much-deserved victory for our football team and our great state of Louisiana and our great university in LSU.
Joe Burrow has changed the way this team runs its offense. What does this do for his legacy as an LSU quarterback?
Hey, you know, he's one of the best we've had here, but we still got four games left. And we're going down the road. We're going to try to win them every game. And we're going to bring a championship back to Louisiana.
That was Jamie Urdahl on the sideline after the game with Coach Ed Ogeron. And I like college football because college football gives us characters. And the NFL has become very sanitized, especially at head coach. Once upon a time, you had Hank Stram. And you had Bum Phillips. And you had Mike Ditka. And you had Buddy Ryan. And you had larger-than-life crazy characters at head coach. And now, I mean, look, it's so vanilla. It is so unbelievably vanilla, the types of personalities you have on sidelines of the NFL. And I think that college does give us that because it's more ingrained in the local culture. You know, Ed Ogeron works at LSU because he is a Cajun. Ed Ogeron doesn't work as the head coach of Iowa State. I like that about college football, and I really like how Ed Ogeron is finally getting vindicated as a head coach because he didn't sound like anybody else in that position. He doesn't look like anybody else in that position, but he's getting it done, and what a win on Saturday. And to see the tears welling up in his eyes, the pride that he is taking in this program and this team, I mean, compare that to, like, Urban Meyer, who seems totally emotionally detached. Probably emotionally corrupt as well. I don't know what is actually in the heart, if there is anything deep down in there. But you have guys in those positions that are so detached. And then you have Ogeron, who is so emotional. What an unbelievable win by LSU on an unbelievable stage with an unbelievable quarterback in an unbelievable game. That thing lived up to the hype. That was brilliant. And I got to say, watching LSU-Bama on Saturday and then the early slate of NFL yesterday was like having the best night ever in Vegas and then waking up and getting on a morning flight out with a screaming baby on one side and a fat guy on the other. It was such a letdown. You know, when we got to the 1 o'clock games yesterday in the NFL, it was just all slop. Coming off of LSU-Bama, I'm just like, let's run back LSU-Bama. Let me enjoy that again. So in Toronto, Nick Nurse is the NBA champion head coach of the Raptors, but he had been 0-for when trying to use a coach's challenge. He was 0-for-6, and then finally, with a Pascal Siakam foul, he challenged it, and it was overturned.
After review, I think it's the ruling on the floor is overturned.
It's
okay,
overturned.
It's
not a foul on Siakam.
Oh, look at Sergio Scotty. Look at this. He got his first. Hugs all around. Jackie, come here. Let me hug you. Oh, yeah. He got it. Now he's selling.
Oh, that is
in times
priceless.
Like this, you can smile.
Nick Nurse was using the coaches' challenges and losing them all. That was Matt Devlin on TSN. When he finally won his first challenge, he started hugging his players, hugging his assistant coaches, even hugged a Lakers fan courtside. And finally, yesterday in MLS Cup, the Seattle Sounders win their second title in 4 years. This goal by Victor Rodriguez puts them up 2-0 and iced the game for the Sounders.
Roba Seattle Sounders. El que la tiene es Svensson. La juega en cortita. El disparo. Rodriguez.
That was courtesy of TUDN in the United States, and that is a 3-1 win by the Sounders in the MLS Cup. And what a day for the MLS. They had 69,000 people inside that stadium where the Seahawks play for the Sounders. 69,000 last year for Atlanta United, where the Falcons play. They had more than 70,000. That means back-to-back MLS Cups. That league had more than 70,000 people in the stands for the game. The game was broadcast on network TV on ABC. Seattle is an amazing soccer town, and that league is in good hands. I'll do a Match DA full recap with Grant Wall from Sports Illustrated following today's show, which we will post on all of our social media channels as the Sounders get MLS Cup 2019. And that is your sound check this morning. A lot coming up on the NFL. We'll talk about the Chiefs and that defense and special teams letting down Patrick Mahomes yesterday. The Steelers, with one of the best defenses in football, now they are on a roll with another victory, all coming up in hour number two. But today, Mraz is out. He's out as executive producer of the DA show. It was his annual Giants trip, and he traveled quite a ways to go see his Giants. He went all the way to MetLife Stadium, as yesterday the Giants played the Jets in the Toilet Bowl. And because, of course, Mraz is a 12-year-old, he cannot go to a football game then the next day actually work. So he's out today, which means Dave Shepard, a.k.a. Shep, is in. And Shep has had one of the most amazing mornings ever. Why don't we cue the music here, Pete the Body Bilotti? Let's start here. Shep, you came into work today by 3:30. What time were you up Eastern Standard Time?
2 a.m.
2 a.m., alarm goes off. You take the subway into the station studio earlier this morning.
Correct.
You are preparing for your shift here on a NFL Monday, which is a lot of stuff. So you are editing audio.
Yes.
You're getting sound bites. You're putting together some montages.
Yes.
You're scripting out a lot of the stuff, information that we have. You're writing up a show sheet for me, getting all the topics. You are here between 3:30 and what time?
About 6:35.
Okay, so about 3 hours you are here preparing the show.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's about three times as long as Mraz has ever been here to prepare a show.
Maybe 10 times as long.
Okay. So you're here for 3 hours, and then at 6:30... 6:35.
Yes.
You have to leave the studio. Even though we are going on the air at 9 a.m. Eastern time, you are leaving for a different task. What is the task you're leaving for?
Well, I am a JV basketball coach at the Calhoun School.
Okay.
And
actually,
so
this is one of two teams you coach.
Yes. Yes, sir.
You coach two JV teams.
Oh, I coach a 7th and 8th grade girls team.
I gotcha.
At Smith, because I couldn't do both because they're in conflict of interest with each other.
Uh-huh.
And so I'd be fired from both jobs.
Okay. So you're a JV boys basketball coach. And this morning on Veterans Day of all days, there's practice in the morning?
It's New York City. These New York City schools have a lot of funding, so therefore they have a lot of teams, so space and courts are limited.
Okay, so the only way that you guys could get space or time at the gym was to practice on the morning of Veterans Day.
Bingo.
When nobody's in school. It's a day off for school.
Yeah.
So you then leave to go coach JV practice basketball this morning.
Yeah.
That's between 7:30?
No, it's between 6:52. Basketball is an exact science, so 6:52 to 7:59.
Okay, so you are then coaching until 8 a.m., and we have our show meeting at 8:30 a.m.
Yes.
So you are then going to take the one train down and get into the office maybe around 8:30.
So for New Yorkers, I don't trust the one because that's a local. So I go to 72nd, we can catch the two or the three.
Okay, and unfortunately, that didn't help you out today because there was a medical emergency?
A medical emergency. I see five cops go onto the train that I was specifically on, because every subway has about eight trains. And I you know, nobody wants to come off as that insensitive person. But I even said, how long is this going to be, sir? Today of all days, I really got to get to it. I don't mean to be insensitive. And of course, this person's having literally a medical emergency. At first, I think they're going on to arrest somebody.
But there's somebody that collapsed.
So you can't remove them.
But they had collapsed in your car.
Yeah.
And so you then get up to street level and say, I am going to hoof it to the station.
I couldn't take a risk.
And so instead of catching a cab,
which is dangerous,
because it could get caught in traffic.
Yeah, and you're at the mercy of someone else.
You ran here.
Sprinted.
Shep sprinted 2.4 miles from Times Square into the office today, came into the show meeting out of breath and sweating profusely. I said, Shep, nobody has ever entered the pre-show meeting sweating profusely. Unless Mraz had to go to the bathroom. Shep has had the most amazing morning already, and now he's producing the award-winning DA show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.